ॐ ध्यायामो दवडावगुञ्जनपतिं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदचित्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Yeah, we'll just discuss quickly whatever we have learnt in the first chapter of Narada Bhakti Sutra for some time. So bhakti, many a times bhakti is confused with just devotional activities. So many times we just do some devotional activity, it's the same. Not with devotional activities, but any other, even spiritual activities. Many people just do some spiritual activities, and as a result of that, they expect the fruit of moksha. They expect moksha to be achieved or attained because they are doing spiritual practices. So spiritual practices doesn't ensure moksha. Spiritual practices are just one part of, or like one aspect or one component in the goal towards moksha. Moksha is not with respect to external activities, it's more towards inner temperament or internal renunciation. So many people just think that just because they are doing some spiritual activities, they expect spirituality. So many a times when we find that somebody is not terming us as spiritual, like for example Agastya, when people go and see Nadi, many people look up their Nadi, and when Agastya doesn't say anything about spirituality, they are surprised. Not surprised in one way, and then in another way, like they are sad, they are really angry as well, because they think they are doing spiritual activities, they are in the spiritual path, but it's not mentioned at all. So that is because there is no real spirituality. Actions, external actions are not essential. What is essential is inner tendency, inner or internal attitude. That is what is more important. That is what makes up bhakti. Bhakti is not just going around singing bhajans of Amma, or like speaking about Amma to people, or saying Sarvam Brahma Mayam. So that is not moksha, or that is not bhakti. That is not bhakti, therefore that is not what will give us moksha. Real bhakti, as we learned in Narada Bhakti Sutra, the real bhakti is when a sadhaka is always thinking about Ishvara, always contemplating about Ishvara, having Ishvara as the ultimate goal of life. That is bhakti. Many a times when something comes up against our spiritual path or our spiritual goal, something conflicts with our spiritual goal, we just fall a prey for it. So our spiritual goal vanishes from our mind. Even if it is temporary vanishing, still that makes a big difference. So as Narada says here, Sātu asmin parama prema rūpa, supreme love towards Ishvara, that is bhakti. So the next time when we try to argue Agastya or many saints' words about who is a spiritual person, who is not a spiritual person, we should judge ourselves. Being in the spiritual path and after learning Narada Bhakti Sutta, we shouldn't make such foolish statement as, oh, that person is devotional, my parents are devotional, he is devotional, he sings a lot. So we should remember never to make such false statements. The moment we make such false statements, we fall a prey to those false statements. If we claim somebody as a devotee when they are not devotees, tomorrow that somebody will become ourselves. So we'll become self-proclaimed devotees, thinking we are in the spiritual path as long as things go fine with us. when things don't go the way we want it, bhakti will vanish. Bhakti will vanish and there will be only ragam there. There will be only attachment there. So that shouldn't happen. If that shouldn't happen, we have to remember as to bhakti is not external activities. External activities can lead to bhakti, but external activities are not bhakti. Just because we daily discuss Narada Bhakti Sutra doesn't mean that we are devotees. It doesn't mean at all. We can be totally against devotion even though we discuss Narada Bhakti Sutra. So if we look at people coming to various spiritual masters, we can understand this very easily. Many people go to spiritual masters. Millions of people meet Amma, come to Amma, but does that mean all are devotees? No. All are devotees, but they are not real devotees. Real devotion is when a seeker has completely surrendered onto Ishvara. Sattu asmin parama prema rupa. Parama premam, supreme love towards Ishvara. Supreme love means Ishvara will be the highest priority of life. As Meera Bhai left her husband for the sake of Ishvara, Prahlada went against his own father. Mahabali went against his own guru for the sake of Ishvara. That is true devotion. Oh, it's fine. I don't need true devotion. I can be a part-time devotee. Fine, well and good. Such part-time devotion cannot give us anandam because amrata swarupacha. Real bhakti is amrata swarupam. Real bhakti will give us anandam. Bhakti which is not true, if it is not true devotion, that cannot give us anandam, that will not give us anandam. And then after learning for many, many years, we'll go back to some Mahatma and complain. Oh, I've been doing this for many years, but still I don't see any progress. And then pray in the mind. Oh, I want this, I want that. So a bhakta, the first thing for a bhakta is, even though such a bhakta might seek worldly pleasures, worldly goals, he may have worldly goals, he will have Ishvara as the goal. Ishvara, the goal of Ishvara will always be there in his mind, whether he has worldly goals or not. So that is the way to find out. Does Ishvara goals still exist even when we have worldly goals? If it is yes, then we are bhaktas. If it is no, if Ishvara, the goal of Ishvara vanishes from our mind when we have worldly goals, then we are not bhakta. And for a true bhakta, he doesn't need anything at all. Yal labdhva puman suddho bhavati, amrato bhavati, tripto bhavati. He'll be triptan. He'll not have any desires. Oh, I need to learn Narada Bhakti Sutra. He'll not have any such desire. Whatever happens, Ishvara's will. If Narada Bhakti Sutra happens, if I'm able to learn Narada Bhakti Sutra's will and good, if I'm not able to, still Ishvara's will. So that will be the real attitude of a bhakta, and that is the way by which we can become real bhaktas, accepting everything is Ishvara's will, Ishvara's grace, rather than, and of course this is where it becomes more tricky, we can many a times, like we make decisions in our life and then blame it on Ishvara. Why? Ishvara's grace. Oh, Ishvara's grace. A person who says everything is Ishvara's grace, he will make decisions in life, but he'll not repent for those decisions. He'll not be affected by the decisions that he makes. Whatever the decision is, if it is, even if it is impossible decision, still he'll not repent. He'll be ever content. Tripto bhavati, tripti, there will be a tripti in mind, there will be contentment in mind for a person who is a real bhakta. And such a bhakta doesn't need anything, yat prapina kinchit vanchati. He'll not become sad at any point of time, he'll ever be rejoicing in the self. So yat jnatva matto bhavati, stabdho bhavati, atma aramo bhavati. Such a person will ever relish, rejoice in the Atman, because bhakti is in of the form of negation. So negating all other needs, and having the need of Ishvara. So negation here doesn't mean we have to stop doing actions, but negation means doing all other actions but still remembering Ishvara, not forgetting Ishvara. So as Narada says, Naradastu tadarpita kila acharata tad vismarane parama vyakulata. So bhakti, true bhakti, is when a person always remembers Ishvara and never forgets Ishvara. As Ramana Maharshi says, Ishvara pitam naichaya kratam chitta shodakam mukti sadakam. Actions which are offered onto Ishvara and done without craving of the fruit, that purifies the mind and thereby helps in liberation, helps in moksha. So a true bhakta will be always remembering Ishvara. He will never forget Ishvara, and the thought of Ishvara itself will make such a bhakta rejoice in bliss. So anandam, as Shankara says, nandati nandati nandatyeva. Such a bhakta will be ever rejoicing in anandam. He will never have any queries. He will never have any doubts. He will never have any regrets. So that is what the Shastras also say. Vidyate hrade granti chidhyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte padavare. Person who sees the Supreme Self, a person who sees Ishvara everywhere, who knows that everything is Ishvara, such a person, all the knots of the heart, all bondages vanish, all doubts vanish. Karma cannot affect the person. Many times, like we find that karma affects our foolish actions, our idiotic actions affect us, affect the people around us, and indirectly affect us. So that will not happen for a bhakta. For a bhakta, he will never even think twice about one. A bhakta will never think twice about renouncing the entire world for Ishvara. One. Two, a bhakta will never regret his actions because he is not doing any action. Actions are done by Ishvara. And therefore, all his actions will be good. Even if the actions are not good, still Ishvara Chinta itself will make the action good for the entire world. So if we are doing actions that is affecting us, that is affecting people around us, that is affecting everyone, the entire world, then we can know that we are far away from bhakti. We are not implementing bhakti. So bhakti means remembering Ishvara at all times, ananya bhajanam of Ishvara, always ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariyupasate tesham nithyabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says that for a bhakta who is always remembering Ishvara, a bhakta who is constantly doing ananya bhajanam. Ananya bhajanam means he always has the thought of Ishvara. Ishvara Chinta is always in his mind. For such a bhakta who is always remembering Ishvara, Ishvara himself will take care of everything, all the needs of such a bhakta. So we can find that wherever there is true bhakti, in the case of Swami Vivekananda or any other bhakta, we can find Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu tried all the means in the entire world to pull or distract Prahlada from the goal, but Prahlada stuck on with Ishvara, and therefore he was protected by Ishvara. Hiranyakashipu tried throwing him in the ocean, making an elephant come in front of him so that he will be trampled, whatever is the right word, by the elephant. But still Prahlada was saved. Nothing happened to Prahlada because he had complete surrender to Ishvara. And this complete surrender or bhakti, real bhakti, doesn't lack knowledge, because tatra api na mahatmya jnana vismriti apavadah. And even in true bhakti there is mahatmya jnanam. Jnanam is there, knowledge about the nature of Ishvara is there. And what is that knowledge? The knowledge that everything is Ishvara, the knowledge that Ishvara alone exists here, Sarvam Brahmamayam, that knowledge is always there. Yascha kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate sruyate piva antar bahishchatat sarvam yapyan narayana sthitaha. Whatever is there in the entire world, that is pervaded in and out by Narayana, by Ishvara. So that knowledge about Ishvara being the non-dual reality, Advitiya Satyam, and everything else just an illusion of names and forms in Ishvara, that will always be there in the mind of a Bhakta. A Bhakta always remembers that. A Bhakta will always remember. So in Bhakti, Jnanam is also there. So Jnanam without Bhakti and Bhakti without Jnanam, a person will not be able to attain the goal of moksha or anandam. So if a person needs anandam, bhakti and jnanam both have to be there. Bhakti, we can say bhakti as just remembering Ishvara, jnanam as knowing the nature of Ishvara, as Krishna says, mai eva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mai eva ta udvamna samshayaha. So Mayeva mana adatsva, fixing your mind onto me, remembering me. My buddhim niveshaya, and fixing your intellect also onto me. Intellect means knowing the nature of Ishvara. Such a bhakta will soon be established in me, very soon. There is no doubt regarding this. So if that is not there, if knowledge is not there in bhakti, then it becomes an illicit love. So it becomes something, the normal love that we find in the world, normal attachment and passion that we find, passion for our parents, passion for our friends, passion for our brother, passion for relatives, passion for other beings. So those are all passions because they are temporarily there, they'll be there now, they will vanish tomorrow. Whereas a true bhakta is always established in Ishvara. Such a person sees oneness everywhere. He knows Ishvara. He speaks about Ishvara. As Narada will say later, that such a bhakta, tat prapya tadeva avalokati, tadeva shrunoti, tadeva bhashayati, tadeva chintayati. After knowing Ishvara, a bhakta who knows Ishvara's glory, that Ishvara is Advitiya Satyam, Ishvara is Ananda Swarupam, and after knowing, after having intellectually known such an Ishvara, he will always speak about Ishvara, tadeva bhashayati, tadeva shrunoti, he will be listening to Ishvara, tadeva chintayati, he will always be thinking about Ishvara. A person who is thinking about worldly objects, person who is not thinking about Ishvara but worrying about worldly things, such a bhakta will not get anandam. So that is part-time bhakti, where a person is thinking about the entire world and temporarily for maybe 1 hour or 2 hours thinking about Ishvara. Such a bhakta will not get anandam. Why? Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkha yonayevate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshwaramate buddha. So yehi samsparshaja bhoga. So whatever bhogam, anandam, like we get out of sensual pleasures, that is limited because adhyantavanta kaunteya, it has a beginning and an end, and therefore it is also sorrowful. Those are seeds of sorrow, therefore wise people don't take resort to them. Bahyasparsheshva saktatma vindati atmani yat sukam sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. A person who knows that external sensual pleasures, the pleasures that are got or achieved by viewing Namarupam, by getting attached or averted to Namarupam, those pleasures are not true, they are not real, they are limited, they are seeds of sorrow. Such a person will get away from those pleasures and instead he will seek pleasure in Ishvara. And such a person will very soon attain Ishvara. Kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam Abhito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Vidita Atmana. A person who is a true Bhakta is Parama Premam. He has merged on to Ishvara, which means he knows nothing but Ishvara. He sees the entire world, the duality, as Ishvara. Such a person who sees everything as Ishvara, Kama Krodha Vyuktanam, he doesn't have any kamam. He is not attached to anything. Krodham, he is not averted to anything. Such a person, Yati, who is always fixed on to Ishvara, for such a person, bliss will be dancing around such a person. And Yasya Nahankrato Bhavo Buddhir Yasya Nalipyate Hatvapi Sa Iman Loka Nayam Hantina Hanyate. Such a person who has surrendered completely onto Ishvara, he doesn't have I and mine. So Yasya Nahankrato Bhavo, he doesn't have Ahankaram. Buddhir Yasya Nalipyate, Yasya Buddhi Nalipyate, whose Buddhi doesn't get attached to Nama Rupam, because my Buddhim Niveshaya, his Buddhi is piercing through Nama Rupam and perceiving the underlying reality of Ishvara. Therefore, such a person, Buddhir Yasya Nalipyate, even if he kills the entire world, he doesn't kill and he is eternal. So actions don't taint such a person because he has gone beyond action. Actions are there only when there is duality. Wherever duality is not there, there are no actions. So that is exactly the same thing that Krishna says. Shreyan dravyamayad yajna jnana yajna parantapa sarvam karma agilam partha jnane parisamapyate. Know that of all yajnas, jnana yajna means here bhakti yajna, remembering of the supreme truth, remembering all pervasive Ishvara. So a person who does such jnana yajna goes beyond all actions, because all actions end in knowledge. Actions are there when duality is there. Action is based on ajnanam, action is based on dvaitam, action is based on duality. Whereas a person who goes beyond action through knowledge, through perceiving non-duality, such a person gets anandam. So such a bhakta doesn't even need moksha, because that itself is moksha. So such a bhakta, a true bhakta, will not even want moksha, because amrita swarupam, or moksha itself is bhakti, that bhakti itself is moksha. It's fine if we seek moksha, that is fine, but we should understand, we should remember that moksha, the same as bhakti, the same as jnanam. Remembering Ishvara, remembering that Ishvara alone is present here, the duality is just nama matram, nama rupa matram. A person should always remember, when a sadhaka remembers that, that itself gives a person anandam. And such a bhakta, he sees only anandam everywhere, and he tries to give anandam to the entire world. Nastyeva tasmin tat sukha sukhitvam. In this true love, the bhakta tries to please the entire world. Can we please the entire world? Yes, we are often trying to do that. We try to please parts of the entire world. We try to please our parents. We try to please our relatives. We try to please our friends. We try to please our bosses. So we try to please a lot of people in the world. So entire world, we can never please the entire world. The entire world can be pleased only when we go beyond Namarupam and please Ishvara. And pleasing Ishvara is what? Finding out Ishvara. So pleasing, how can we please a person? Like, we can please a person if we find the person in the first place. So finding Ishvara, that is the greatest pleasing. Finding and remembering Ishvara, that is the pleasing that a person, a sadhaka, can do. So the sadhaka doesn't need his own happiness. His happiness lies in remembering Ishvara, in pleasing Ishvara. Pleasing Ishvara is by constantly remembering Ishvara. Naradastu tadarpita kila acharata tadvismarane parama vyakulata. So remembering Ishvara at all times and never forgetting Ishvara. When a person forgets Ishvara, becoming restless, the state, when a person forgets Ishvara, the state should be like a fish which is on land and it is struggling for air. So So once a person went and asked Ramakrishna Paramahamsa as to how can I realize Ishvara? When will I realize Ishvara? What is the attitude to realize Ishvara? So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa pushed him into the water and then kept him submerged or immersed in water by holding his head. The person like was struggling for air. So after a few seconds, it was like the person couldn't breathe any longer, and then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa let him let go of the hold of his head. The person came up gasping for breath. And then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, when you have the strong desire for Ishvara, when you want to become, when you have this desire for moksha, desire for bhakti, and that desire is as strong as the desire for you now to get one breath of air, then you will realize Ishvara. So doing spiritual activities is fine, it is good, it helps in purifying the mind. Chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu upalabdhaye vastu siddhirvicharena nakinchit karma kotibhihi. So chittasya shuddhaye karma, any action, whether it is spiritual action or worldly action, is for purification of the mind and not for realization of the truth. Realization of the truth can be had only through vicharam, inquiry, inquiring as to who Ishvara is. So that inquiry itself is bhakti. When we try to inquire about Ishvara, the more and more we inquire about Ishvara, the more we merge onto Ishvara. And that can give us moksha. Actions cannot give us moksha. Therefore, we should always remember that spiritual activities don't or doesn't necessarily mean we are true bhaktas or we are true jnanis. What really determines whether we are true bhaktas or true jnanis is that such a person will be ever blissful. Such a person will be ever speaking about Ishvara. And even when such a person is not speaking about Ishvara, like Ramana Maharshi rarely used to speak. So even when such a person is not speaking, we can feel the presence of Ishvara, Ananda Swarupa Ishvara. So Anandam, he'll be dancing around such a person, and that is what we can experience. And it is that Anandam that we are constantly seeking, constantly wanting in life. Therefore, if we need that Anandam, then we have to strive to be a true Bhakta. So we know what Bhakti is. Bhakti is Parama Prema Rupam and Amritam. So, and how can I achieve Bhakti? Tadarpita gila acharata tadvismarane parama vyakulata. Always remembering Ishvara and never forgetting Ishvara. And there itself, remembering the nature of Ishvara, knowing the nature of Ishvara, is part of this bhakti. There is no ignorance or lack of knowledge of who that Ishvara is that is there. So a bhakta knows Ishvara to be all-pervasive, Ishvara to be Advitiya Satyam, that is always there in bhakti as well. So this is Bhakti Swarupam. Nature of bhakti has been explained by Narada beautifully in the first chapter. This will give us an idea about what bhakti is. Parama Prema Rupam Amrita Swarupam. How can I achieve it? Tadarpita Akila Acharata Tadvismarane Parama Vyakulata. And is it different from knowledge? No, there itself. Tatrapina Mahatma Jnana Mahatmya Jnana Vismrati Apavadaha. There is no forgetting nature of Ishvara. Nature of Ishvara, knowledge about the nature of Ishvara is already there. So after explaining about bhakti, in the next chapter Narada will speak about bhakti mahatvam, what is great about bhakti. So greatness about bhakti will be explained so that we know the importance of bhakti. We will feel the necessity to become true bhaktas. Of course, we already know why should we become true bhaktas? Amrita Swarupam or Anandam. If we need Anandam, we have to be true bhaktas. We'll continue later. Namaskar.